Volume 3, Part 3, Ideology and Religion. Chapter 16, The Threat of the Anglican Bishops. During the first half of the 18th century, there were sporadic schemes to impose Anglican bishops upon the American colonies. The schemes had been bitterly resented by all the non-Anglicans in America, and even opposed by most of the Anglicans themselves, who were generally low church and happy to be governing themselves free of English control. The schemes had died down during the war with France, but even then Bishop Thomas Secker, who had assumed the post of Archbishop of Canterbury in 1758, quietly laid plans to revive the scheme as soon as the war was over. His installment was the occasion for the Reverend Samuel Johnson of New York, a longtime advocate of an American episcopate, to join with a group of Anglican ministers in New York and New Jersey to petition for this innovation. Secker replied with the assurance that he had long had at heart the idea of American bishops. He added that the matter must remain in abeyance, but that the powerful Lord Halifax, president of the Board of Trade, was enthusiastic over the scheme. As soon as the war was over, Secker launched his campaign. The grand design for imperial assumption of power over the colonies was well underway, Secker informed Johnson, and the time was therefore right for pushing the project for American bishops. The imperialistic Duke of Bedford was, not surprisingly, quite willing, but Secker continued in secrecy until plans could fructify. It was in an atmosphere of fear and rumor engendered by these machinations that agitation against an American bishopric resumed in the colonies. The controversy burst to the fore in early 1763 when the great libertarian divine of Massachusetts, Jonathan Mayhew, was provoked by an Anglican minister's spirited defense of the Anglican Society for Preservation of the Gospel. The Reverend Mr. Mayhew's famous reply, "Observations on the Charter," strongly attacked the SPG's long-standing and dangerous agitation for an American episcopate. Against this scheme, Mayhew thundered, "When we consider her, Church of England, enormous hierarchy, ascending by various gradation from the dust to the skies, and the threat that all of us will be taxed for the support of bishops and their underlings, can we avoid crying out, 'Will they never let us rest in peace?' Is it not enough that they persecuted us out of the old world? Will they pursue us into the new to convert us here, compassing sea and land to make us proselytes? What other new world remains as a sanctuary for us from their oppressions in case if we need? Where is the Columbus to pilot us to it before we are deluged in a flood of episcopacy?" Mayhew's stirring observations performed the function of intensifying and polarizing the conflict, stirring interest and activity among his supporters, and drawing bitter replies from several prominent Anglicans. Many of the replies called for a full-fledged Anglican establishment, while a rebuttal pamphlet by Archbishop Secker tried to be more moderate and to stress the simple administrative functions of American bishops. Jonathan Mayhew was unimpressed. "Once they are here," Mayhew replied, "the bishops will try to attain the power of their English colleagues, and ambition and avarice never want plausible pretexts to accomplish their end." A gradual plan for bishops was in the long run as grave a threat as the extreme one. Indeed, Mayhew wisely commented, "People are not usually deprived of their liberties all at once, but gradually, by one encroachment after another, as it is found they are disposed to bear them." Furthermore, Mayhew expressed great distrust of the revival of High Church Tory principles and maxims under the new king, George III. Jonathan Mayhew's pamphlets in 1763 and 1764 on the Anglican question had a profound effect in rallying colonial opposition to an episcopal scheme and in sowing distrust of and hostility to English imperial projects. The treasurer of Massachusetts wrote of the unprecedented general approbation and applause greeting Mayhew's observations. John Adams, writing later of these events, testified to the importance of the controversy that began with Mayhew's pamphlets. It spread a universal alarm against the authority of Parliament. It excited a general and a just apprehension that bishops and dioceses and churches and priests and tithes were to be imposed on us by Parliament. It was known that neither king nor ministry nor archbishops could appoint bishops in America without an act of Parliament. And if Parliament could tax us, they could establish the Church of England with all its creeds, articles, tests, ceremonies, and tithes, and prohibit all other churches. So influential were Mayhew's writings, indeed, that the conservative, Calvinist Congregationalist who had been hostile to Mayhew's highly liberal views now ranged alongside him and the other liberal Congregationalist and forged a new unity against the common danger. So severe was the reaction that the frightened Archbishop Secker was soon willing to call off the whole thing, but the damage had been done. Furthermore, rumors tended to fly overseas of impending appointments of American bishops, thereby keeping America hostile and on the alert. Meanwhile, irritations against church and state accumulated in America. The Anglican governor of New York, James De Lancey, refused to allow Presbyterians and Lutherans to control their own property. And as early as 1761, the Crown had prohibited the emigration from England of any schoolteacher to New Hampshire who was not an Anglican and certified by the Bishop of London.